and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today, Gina McAleese, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Community Manager for Making Strides of Delaware and Making Strides of Greater Philadelphia, South New Jersey, and Sean Gines. He is Senior Community Manager, American Cancer Society in Delaware. Welcome back, you two. You've both been on before.
Yes.
Thank you. We're glad to be back.
October, we always think about breast cancer awareness, and COVID-19 has put the kibosh on so many events, and yet you're getting through it, and we're going to have some great events in the tri-state area coming up.
That's correct. Yeah. Again, thank you for having us on today. We're excited to share a lot of the stuff that we have upcoming. Obviously, we are having to change. Nothing is the same in 2020 as it was at any point any previous year. So we're definitely making a lot of changes to our Making Strides events all throughout the country. As you said, none of them are in person this year. We've had to stop that. But we are hoping that we can give everyone a meaningful event. And I use event in quotes. You can't see the air quotes, but we use that in quotes. And we have a lot of things that we are doing that we want to share with you today. And that's what Gina and I are here to do, and share a little bit about how COVID is impacting our mission and the American Cancer Society as a whole.
Let's get first the mission statement for the American Cancer Society. And then let's talk about breast cancer, and especially right now in COVID-19 country.
Sure. Yeah. The mission of the American Cancer Society, we're a global grassroots force of 1.5 million volunteers, and we're dedicated to saving the lives and celebrating lives and leading the fight for a world without cancer.
Let's get into then COVID-19. And that has really, it's transformed your organization. You were just mentioning that, you know, we're all working, well, you're working from home, events have to be rescheduled and all that, but that doesn't stop. The research, that's still going on. You've still got programming going on, and there are still more and more cases of breast cancer out there, and your research and your early detection campaigns save lives. So let's talk about breast cancer today.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned we are changing and we're pivoting with the COVID-19 impact on cancer. Unfortunately, a lot has changed. And one of those things is screenings is down. And that's one thing that the American Cancer Society has been known for. We've encouraged everyone to partake in their screening, to talk to their doctor, to get checked out. Since the onslaught of COVID-19, the screenings for not only breast, but cervical and colon cancer are down anywhere between 86 and 94%. And we know that's because when this first started, we were told, you know, don't do anything that's elective, you know, stay at home, don't, unless it's absolutely necessary, don't go there. But now, you know, we have the option and the ability to start kind of getting back into the swing of things. And we're really encouraging everyone to get that screening that they've missed because of the impact on COVID-19.
Well, you want to talk about how prevalent breast cancer is and who does it strike?
Sure, absolutely. We know breast cancer affects or can affect anyone, but it primarily affects women. And in fact, is the second leading cause of cancer death in women, only behind lung cancer. And while we've done a great job impacting the rates, in fact, breast cancer incidence and death rates have dropped 40% since 1989 until 2007. We're excited to make continual strides towards impacting the fight against breast cancer, but we know that we got to keep going.
You're seeing numbers though, and jump in here too, Gina. But while the death rate has been dropping, you're seeing more cases, and especially in people under the age of 50, and that's not good.
That is not good. And a lot of that has to do with lifestyles, and, you know, and part of the mission of the American Cancer Society is that education, and that's part of why we're educating everyone to adopt a healthy lifestyle so that they can impact those numbers, and we can encourage and work on getting those numbers to continue declining instead of coming up or just even staying steady. We want to keep them on the downward trend. And that's why we do what we do every year. And that's why we, you know, we have all our events so that we can continue making impacts in the fight against cancer.
The decrease in deaths, and I'm talking with my hands right now. This is Zoom is great, except of course this is radio. So the deaths are decreasing, but the numbers are coming up. But it's because you're finding breast cancer earlier through those screenings. And so you want to talk about the programs that you actually offer, because you do a lot. You fund research like crazy. You fund research, but you also do great programs for patients and for families. And that's what all of these fundraisers and all these events are ultimately going to do.
Absolutely. Gina, would you like to talk about like our Road to Recovery program or our Hope Lodge program?
Yeah, certainly. So really, there are a ton of programs and services that we could talk about. There are programs and services that people have reached out to me to ask about that I'm not even sure if we do them or not. And then I find out that we do, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there is so much that ACS does. But the ones that I really primarily like to talk about are the most used ones, and I think the ones that are most important. So I know that Sean mentioned that right now, especially due to COVID, that people are really struggling to get to their screenings and get to their appointments with their doctors. So one program that we love here at the American Cancer Society is our Road to Recovery program. So that program is sort of like, I kind of related to Uber or Lyft. People can call into our special system and say they need a ride to treatment. It's at a weird time of the day. Their family otherwise couldn't bring them to that treatment. They can call in. We match them up with a volunteer driver, and that driver will bring them from home to their treatment site and back again. We have drivers all over the area. Some drivers are more willing to travel than others. So we have some drivers that are willing to go up to an hour away if people really need to travel that distance for their appointments. So which is, it's an awesome opportunity for our patients. And we always say that the best screening or the best testing that they get done is the one that gets done. So as long as they are able to get there, we're happy. So we're always looking for more road recovery drivers to help us out with that cause. Just getting people to their appointments. Another thing. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to ask you about what I bet you're going to say next is the Hope Lodge.
Yeah. Yep. So our Hope Lodge program it's an amazing, amazing program and service that we have to offer. So Hope Lodge is located in all of our major city areas. There is the most local is probably our one in Philadelphia, as well as I believe in Hershey, if I'm not mistaken. And there's also one in our New York City metro. But Hope Lodge is a facility that cancer patients and one caregiver can stay at for free. Some of them stay overnight. Some of them stay for a week or a couple weeks on end. And it is a completely free lodging facility that they can stay in during treatment. So if they live in an otherwise remote area where they can't necessarily get to their treatments, or if it takes a little bit of time for them to get their treatments every day, they can stay there, be close to the doctors and the hospitals that they're working with. And that is a very heavily utilized program that we have to offer.
You want to mention any of the other programs that you have for patients and for families?
Yeah, I mean, I could say so many other programs, but another one that I really, really love to talk about is our wig fitting program. And really, because that is something that I've had the pleasure of being able to sit in on some of our American Cancer Society offices, as well as some of our partnering hospital systems. They have wig fitting rooms that all of our patients can go to for free to get one wig per person. And really, as much as it seems like possibly a silly thing or just something that, you know, it's aesthetic, it doesn't really necessarily matter too much, but it does matter, because I have watched people leave these appointments crying happy tears. They just feel more like themselves. They feel beautiful, and it's hair, but it means so much to them to see them leave. So that's just something that is super, it's been impactful for me. Somebody that has come out as a volunteer and became a staff member, being able to see where that money's actually going and seeing that come to fruition and being part of that has really been very touching to me and impactful on me. So,
and of course, those are the warm fuzzies and the wonderful things that local volunteers and of course the fundraising drive. But then there's also the serious money that the American Cancer Society uses towards research. And you can't look at a cancer discovery that you haven't had some part of. And it's local, it's national, it's international, the research that you do. And you want to talk a little bit about that. Sean?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, research is a huge part of what the American Cancer Society does. In fact, we have currently $69 million just invested in research, breast cancer research specifically. And the thing that we like to really talk about with our research program is kind of where it starts with our researchers. And we like to fund, and we have approved proven track record of funding new researchers. So early in the stages of them coming up with the new, the different, the unique idea, and giving them the ability to prove themselves. And once they've proven themselves, they have a plethora of ways to get funding after that. But presently, we're, like I said, once you go beyond that, then they can get money from the federal government, from other places, other research institutions. And we kind of are the launching pad. And we're very proud of that. In fact, 50 of our researchers have won the Nobel Prize for that. So we're really excited about that. Like I said, actually, or maybe I haven't said, we're actually the leading non-governmental funder of cancer research. So the only organization or institution that funds more cancer research than us is the federal government. And that's an astounding number that we probably can never, ever get to, although we would love to. Maybe that would get us more research and obviously more cures and more help down the road. But yeah, so we're just excited to share those numbers. And it's just led to so many discoveries within the breast cancer realm, within all of our cancer realms. And one of those is the discovery of the BRCA1 and 2 genes, that breast cancer is, it runs in the family. So there's a way for people to go out and find out if they're more at risk for developing breast cancer. And there are things that we've done that we've gotten to the point where we can find out if you're more likely or you're more prone to breast cancer. So it's part of that staying well and getting well. And if we can know that something is down the line and you can do something now to prevent it, let's do that now so that we can prevent that from occurring.
Well, I started to ask earlier, early prevention, obviously, that screening, but preventing it to begin with and understanding the genetic part in breast cancer. Do you want to talk about who gets breast cancer? Who's more likely? Or is there someone you can identify besides the genes? And how do we prevent breast cancer so we don't have to worry about it in early detection?
Yeah, absolutely. We started down this road a little bit earlier, but of course, anyone can get it. Women are more statistically likely to get it. In fact, approximately one in every eight women will be diagnosed with some type of invasive breast cancer in their lifetime. Men, of course, can get it too. So kind of put that in perspective for you. Nationwide, about 276,000 new cases each year and more than 42,000 deaths in women will occur from breast cancer. And for men, about 2,600 nationwide. Locally, for us to kind of bring it home for us, in Pennsylvania, approximately 12,180 cases each year and 1,900 deaths. And for Delaware, 960 cases. And for New Jersey, 8,260 cases. So just kind of giving you a little bit of a localized number on it's impacting everyone, but it's impacting us here at home.
That one in eight, does this across all ages now?
Yeah, unfortunately it is. And it's part into taking care of ourselves. And that's part of adopting a healthy lifestyle. We're relentless in the pursuit to find new cures and to find out why it's impacting certain age groups. But unfortunately it does. And as you know, a lot of people know that as you get older, your chances increase. But we're finding it's affecting everyone.
What are some of the things that we can be doing? And do you have an idea about why younger women are getting it? Is it a change in lifestyle over the years? Or is that one of the things that you're researching?
You hit a point for me that a lot of people think research and they think, this doctor or these researchers have these test tubes out and they're like dropping little vials of different things in, trying different things. But a lot of the research that we do internally and with external partners is a numbers game kind of research. And we look at habits, we look at things that people do in their everyday lifestyle. And while there's no sure way to prevent breast cancer, there are things that we can do that can lower our risk, such as diet, such as exercise. In fact, we recommend, everyone getting, at least a couple hours of exercise, vigorous exercise every week. But we're trying to figure out what it is specifically, because if we can figure out what it is that tends to, push you in one direction or the other, we can hopefully address that.
What about ethnic populations, women of color? Has it strikes them more adversely?
That is true. Yes. Unfortunately, those in our African-American communities are impacted. Unfortunately, a lot of cancers tend to fall that way, are impacted more heavily than those of other races. And that's part of why we're doing what we're doing. Part of our mission is to help the disparities of those who are impacted by cancer, to ensure that everyone has the same and equal access to treatment that they need to get better, to stay healthy, and this, to, you know, to live as long, a long and healthy life.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. With us today, we have Gina McAleese, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Community Manager for Making Strides of Delaware and Making Strides of Greater Philadelphia, South New Jersey, and Sean Gines, Senior Community Manager, American Cancer Society in Delaware. Everything that we talk about today, you can find more information. Go to makingstrideswalk.org. You'll be able to backlink to the American Cancer Society, but you'll also be able to find an event or an opportunity that is wherever you happen to be. You'll find it right there, makingstrideswalk.org. Now, before we even get into Making Strides, though, I got to ask, what about the Real Men Wear Pink campaign? Is that still on?
Yeah, absolutely. The Real Men Wear Pink campaign is still on. For those who don't know what the Real Men Wear Pink campaign is, it's generally a man or a group of men, and they use their sphere of influence to make an impact in the fight against breast cancer. So our Making Strides walks tend to be groups or family members, and they kind of come together. You know, they do some fundraising and they do their walk. But our Real Men Wear Pink are members of the community. They tend to be well known within our neighborhoods, our work location, any kind of social networking kind of deal. And what they do is they commit for the entire month of October to wear an article of pink clothing every day of the month. We ask that they publish or post a picture of themselves on some type of social media, which is awesome to see and inspiring to see. And they each commit to raising $2,500 in the fight against breast cancer. And that money goes towards the same funds that the money from the Making Strides walks goes towards. If anyone's ever interested in learning more about that, we do have multiple campaigns within your listening area. They can find more information at realmenwearpinkacs.org. That's realmenwearpinkacs.org. I should throw out there too, just in case someone doesn't want to log in on the computer and they want to pick up the phone, they can always get any information about the American Cancer Society by giving us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at 1-800-227-2345. And that number will connect you to any of our walks, any of our services, or any of our offices, any of our anything at the American Cancer Society. And the best part is you can call it at any time and get whatever kind of information you would like.
That's one of the things you've always mentioned, that if you get devastating news, after you raise your head back up, you can call the American Cancer Society, and that number, 800, is ACS, American Cancer Society. It's even easier to remember, 800-ACS-2345, and there's somebody on the other end that can talk you down, can talk to you about resources in your community, and talk to you about the programming that the American Cancer Society has to offer. So, I love the Real Men Wear Pink because it becomes such a bragging rights kind of thing. And you can join it any time in the month of October, just as long as you wear that pink and you raise that money. Okay, so now let's get started with the real fun for this. And that is how you have accommodated COVID-19 to still have some great fun events in the Delaware Valley. Take it away, Gina. It's yours.
Yes. So, well, as we keep saying, breast cancer hasn't stopped, and neither have we at the American Cancer Society. We are still making sure that our movement lives on through fundraising, and we are encouraging all of your listeners here to sign up and learn more about what we're doing at makingstrideswalk.org. I can share a little bit about a couple of our local events, two of our local events, one being in Delaware and the other being our Greater Philadelphia and South Jersey event. I'll start with Delaware, though. So Delaware is welcoming, in lieu of what would normally be our walking event, we are having a pink car parade, and that's taking place at our 76ers field house on October 25th at 6:30 p.m. So we are very, very excited to be partnering with our friends over at the 76ers field house. But just to give you kind of an idea of what you're going to see, we'll have a staging area for all of our cars to get decorated. A lot of the teams are getting very excited about that because we are turning that into a competition with a $100 Visa gift card as the top prize. So they are getting very excited to put pink tutus and pink glitter all over their cars. They will go over from that area to ride through the actual car parade route. And just to give you an idea, some of the things that they're going to see is one being our lovely partners at WJBR DJing and bringing the excitement and having the fun. So we're very happy to have everybody dancing in the back seats. And then while they ride through, they'll see some of our partnering sponsors. They'll see a slideshow projected on the building of the 76ers field house. They'll make their way around. We'll actually have our tribute Garden of Hope area. And that is an area that our participants are creating luminaria bags in either honor or in memory of someone that has been touched by breast cancer. We're partnering with Ramsey's Garden and Farm Center for that as well. They'll be decorating it with some hay bales and pumpkins and mums just to give it a little bit of a fall touch. It'll be illuminated at night with some lights. Then they'll drive around. We'll have our volunteer photographers taking pictures of everybody's car and having a great time. And when they leave, they will be making sure that we give them a little thank you brochure, and that will give them access to all their pictures as they leave the parking lot space, but shouldn't take anybody too long. We think about 10 to 15 minutes tops, definitely a little different than our walking event, but we still wanted to have something in person, quote unquote, that people could have fun in. And we're just so excited to see everybody out in their pink and celebrating and decorating their pink cars.
You can do it there, or you can do it at home and arrive at the field house, or you've got a space where they can decorate there.
Yeah, so we're going to have a staging area. The 76ers field house does have a secondary parking lot. We are still rendering a map that will be available on the Delaware Making Strides website, but people will be able to see on that map what the car parade looks like, where they need to go, and including that staging area as well.
Is it going to be a loud parade?
Yes, we want people to blow horns. We want them to cheer. We're very excited for WJBR again to be out there playing the music and the tunes. So we want people, like I said, in their back seats, dancing, staying socially distanced, but still having a good time. We will still have some feet on the ground, a very, very few number of volunteers. Again, socially distancing, but making sure that we're holding up directive signs so that people know where they're driving. A couple other fun surprises: when people enter into the car parade at the very beginning, they'll actually scan into a QR code sign, and that will bring up a welcome video as they're arriving, and that will be featuring some of our committee volunteer members. So we're very excited to have that be in play. And we're using a little bit of technology as a guinea pig this year to see what we're able to do. And we've really been able to test out some new things that we've never done before. And I think even in a post-COVID world, there's some things that we will now be doing that we're learning this year. So it's not a total loss of a year. You know, we're learning.
It sounds like a blast. And now what about in Philadelphia? Because you've got Virtually United coming up.
Yes. Virtually United, Y-O-U United. So we're really excited for Virtually United, and that event is completely virtual. So that is a combined event between our Greater Philadelphia and South Jersey Walk that normally happens at Cooper River Park, with in combination with our Ocean City, New Jersey event that usually would take place at the Ocean City High School. So these two events have decided to merge together, and they will be featured on 6ABC and Univision 65's Facebook Live, their YouTube Live, as well as on the CTV networks. We're going to be joined by Gina Gannon and Ilya Garcia from 6ABC and Univision 65. They're hosting that event that will take place on Thursday, October 15th at 7 p.m. It's about a half an hour program, but we're very excited. All of the elements that normally would make up our walk event, we wanted to incorporate in this virtual world. So you'll still see survivor speakers. We are actually going to be welcoming one of our local researchers that is a woman in research in our local Philadelphia area. And then in addition to that, so we'll have, again, some of our sentimental pieces. Our Garden of Hope will still take place virtually with this other event. And then in addition to that, some fun things is we'll have Hard Rock Hotel and Casino is going to be featuring some musical entertainment on the program, including one local legend who was on NBC's The Voice. So we're very excited to welcome some of their local entertainment and talent, and really just bring an awesome production to everyone. And we encourage everyone to watch that on 6ABC and Univision 65's social media pages, Facebook and YouTube.
Talk about the virtual walk that you're having, because people can still walk from home.
course. Yeah. So for all of our local events here in the Philadelphia area, we wanted to incorporate something that teams could do. Teams were asking, like, we still want to walk, you know, from home. We want to walk from our office on our lunch break. So we did decide to create a designated walk from home 5K week, which is taking place October 5th through October 9th. And that's not to say that that is the only time that these teams can walk from home. It's really just a designated week that we're offering, but we have had teams already doing walks from their offices, from their neighborhoods, and other teams that are going to be doing it later into the month of October. But essentially, we're encouraging all Making Strides teams to walk with their friends, families, their neighbors, their workmates, for a socially distanced, you know, whether that's a walk, a run, a bike ride, it could be a car parade in their neighborhood. But we're asking all of the teams, whatever they're doing, whenever they're actually doing it, to just take pictures, send a video, just, you know, shouting their team name and cheering and getting excited and letting us know why they make strides. We do want to feature the videos and the pictures across our social media timelines. And, you know, the other key point of that is, yes, we are still fundraising. And I know that the team captains for the ones that are doing their own walk from home are getting on their teammates to make sure that they're fundraising and of course having a good time, but we still need to see those dollars, you know, increasing.
And then finally, you've got a scavenger hunt.
So any team that has raised over $500 on their team's fundraising page, they will automatically get notified of a special City Hunt code that they can enter on our City Hunt website, which is all located on the front page of our Making Strides websites. And essentially, it is a 2-hour scavenger hunt that they can do at their own time. They get their own special code for their team to go on the scavenger hunt. So it's a little bit of a virtual event, but they do get to go out in person and be around and go adventure with their team. A little bit of something fun and something to do, again, just staying socially distanced.
The whole point of all of this is to have fun and raise great funds for you, because your mission is actually at risk. You're trying to make up like $200 million, is it? You've got a $200 million shortfall because of COVID-19. And that's what all of this is about.
Absolutely. Yeah. We don't want COVID to impact us any more than it already has. And we're working very diligently and very hard to ensure that we can help everyone that calls the 800 number or that logs on online or that needs us at any point in time.
Gina, parting words?
I would just say how we're uniting and fighting back against breast cancer this fall is looking very different, obviously due to COVID, but our passion to end breast cancer is remaining the same. And our Making Strides walk, it's more than just a walk. It truly is a movement. And in this year, in 2020, we are asking people to not only join our movement, donate, and sign up to save lives, but we're asking people to help us fund the future, because truly our future generations, if we are unable to donate and fundraise now, our future is going to be definitely impacted. So it's definitely more than just an event. It is a movement and something that we still need to make sure we're fundraising for. Breast cancer hasn't stopped, and neither should we, and neither can we. So we're looking forward to having people join us virtually or at a car parade or at a walk from home. Hopefully they all do something.
Sean?
Gina has said it beautifully. We're working very hard to make sure that we can still fight back, because there are people out there that still want to give back. We understand that not everyone can, but we want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to make an impact in the fight against cancer, and that everyone still maintains the ability to get the answers to questions that they have. Whether it be they got their diagnosis at Thursday and then they have that question at 2:00 in the morning, that they can give us a call.
And of course, they can give you that call at 800-ACS-2345. You can also find them at makingstrideswalk.org. You can find out there about events that are happening in your area. It could be the Pink Car Parade in Delaware, Sunday, October 25th, maybe October 15th, the Virtually United program, or it could be that week of the 5th through the 9th, a walk from home, which you can actually do, you know, before or after that date. But form a team and get involved at makingstrideswalk.org. Here's where I want to say thank you to you both. From the American Cancer Society today, Gina McAleese, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Community Manager, and Sean Gines, Senior Community Manager for the American Cancer Society in Delaware. Thank you both for being on.
Thank you, Laura. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Laura, very much.
We'll see you again after all of this mess. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.